Hey, Stas. Stassi's having an existential crisis.
This cult is bumming me out, man.
The world is bumming me out.
I know. It's been a long day.
It's been a long year. It's been a long decade. It's been a long life.
I feel like I've like lived several days within just this one.
I believe that. Maybe we're being Groundhog Day and we don't know it. You know, that always bugged me about the movie Groundhog Day. Obviously, the people, everyone in it who wasn't Bill Murray didn't know that the day was happening thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what if that's happening right now? What if that this is the 10,000th time we've been in this day? It's been happening for years, and none of us know except one guy who needs to learn a lesson. What if we've recorded this a million times already?
Something to chew on.
Anyway, I'm Hallie George.
I just can't, man.
And we're Cult of Our Lives. When we last left off, we were talking about Waco, Texas, and the overview. Please go listen to part one before you listen to this, or you're going to miss out on some
pretty important shit.
And some good nuggets that Stassi dug up about the origins of the Branch Davidians.
And of cult pedophile David Koresh.
But now, of course, we're heading into what makes Waco famous, which is the Waco Siege. That's their notable craziness, the Waco Siege.
Were you aware of the Waco Siege as a child?
I was aware of it probably as a middle schooler when I really started to get interested in cults. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew what Waco was as a child. What about you?
No, I mean, I might have, like, seen it in passing once or twice growing up, but I feel like I had seen Jonestown more.
Yeah, I didn't see any of this. My parents were very not about showing us
the stuff. Oh, no. Yeah. Nor were mine, but I was very inquisitive and into the macabre and all that.
I remember. Yeah. No, I still am very, like, let's watch something happy. But I used to be, like, Liberty Kids on PBS was my,
the dude, darkest thing I watched. Dude, that was my shit.
That was a fantastic show.
That was a good show.
That was the original Hamilton.
I liked that little French boy. Just because, yes. I liked when he talked, because I thought his accent was dope.
I didn't understand he was French as a child, because I had never heard a French accent before. And I was like, does he have some sort of speech impediment? Like, I didn't understand.
I remember, Walter Cronkite was Benjamin Franklin at the printing press. And I think the one thing I remember is that in the interludes, they would have, like, colonial facts. Yeah. And, like, that's where I learned that colonial people would brush their teeth with powdered brick.
I don't remember that. I just remember Benjamin Franklin. That
stuck in my head my whole life.
And I remember the episode where they're like, hey, let's glorify the Boston Tea Party, even though we recognize that it was pretty racist.
I can't remember any episodes.
That's all I remember.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, this has been PBS Corner. I'm Ira Glass.
Alrighty, kiddo.
Back to Waco. So, February 28th, 1993. The ATF raids the Branch Davidian compound, but not right away.
You said in the last episode that they were aware that the Branch Davidians were stockpiling illegal weapons, but how did they know that?
I have had trouble finding that. The FBI says that they got a tip.
Okay.
They don't really elaborate beyond that. But
that same woman who called in that tip about the FLDS pretending to be a child.
Oh, that weird woman. She just roams the country for decades calling in random tips.
Doing different characters each time.
She's a failed...
Hello, governor! Just so you know!
Do the French boy from Liberty Kids.
If I could, I would.
Who is that supposed to be? Was he a real person in history, the French kid?
I don't think any of the three main characters were.
Okay, yeah, except for Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
But so, the Branch Davidian...
Oh, fuck me. Okay.
Oh, God. Okay. The ATF goes up to the MCC compound to serve arrest and search warrants as part of the investigation into the illegal possession of all these explosives and firearms. Obviously, they did not go up, and the Waco people were like, hey,
what the fuck?
We'll give you our guns. Sure, boy, howdy. Sorry for the misunderstanding. On the notes, this was a headline I actually read about this. It says, no one knew who shot first.
So that's like that, the Battle of Concord, right? Like
That's the shot heard around the world.
Wasn't one of them, someone wasn't sure where the shot?
That's from Star Wars.
What?
There's a very famous bit in Star Wars.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Well, it's just an expression people use called Han shot first.
Oh, yes, because you have that on your phone or your laptop.
On my computer.
It says Burr shot first, you fucking nerd! You fucking nerd!
I like history, and I like Star Wars, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
You know what? Let's just get back to the motherfucking Waco siege.
Anyway, so the headline was, no one knows who shot first, or if the FBI knows, they aren't talking. There were a few people who worked for the FBI who said, yeah, some people said on the report that the Davidians started shooting at us, but then I know a fellow agent stepped forward and started shooting before they did. So there's a very he said, she said kind of thing about, basically neither group was at
wanted to accept responsibility
for what happened.
Yeah.
So they started to get into a gunfire. It was basically a battle. They would shoot back and forth, and then they would hide for a while and regroup. Shoot back and forth. The first few days, the FBI negotiated with Koresh, and they were like, hey, there are a ton of children in there. There were over 100 people in there, and I think there were 40 children.
Mm-hmm.
40-something children.
Wait, we never said how many people were in this cult altogether. Because I didn't see that number.
I couldn't find it. I just know how many were here during the siege, and it was about 100.
Okay, so let's just go with that.
So roughly 100 people. It was a small cult, but powerful. And
in terms of firearms,
in
yeah.
terms of firearms.
I don't know about the alcohol or tobacco.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that they had anywhere. And so the FBI was like, release all the children to us. Stop holding everybody hostage, because Koresh had basically told everyone to attack the ATF. And they were like, and the FBI arrived at this point. And Koresh was like, well, I want to make a broadcast first, the message of my church on national radio. So they let him make a broadcast. They didn't actually air it, but they let him record it.
Can you, like, find it online?
I'm sure it's somewhere.
I'm going to look for it right now.
Then after they held up their end of the bargain, Koresh told all of his followers that God told them to remain in the building and, quote-unquote, wait. They waited, but despite this, a few hours later, negotiations managed to facilitate the release of 19 children, who ranged between 5 months old to 12 years old. None of the parents were released, and 98 people remained in the building.
I did not know that about the kids being released. That is actually kind of makes it a little bit better.
Especially because some of them were 5 months old.
Jesus Christ.
Could you imagine that? Like, no. here's a picture this of the day you were born. Here's a picture of that day you fled from the Waco, Texas siege.
That's fucking insane.
So yeah, these 12-year-olds were basically put in charge of the rest of the children, and they all ran out, and then they obviously got child services to collect them. And these children started to talk to these people who were working with the government about being sexually abused and stuff, being physically abused. They started to get the picture together that Koresh was, like, not even just a loony, but, like, a dangerous one. This went on for weeks, this sort of back and forth. By the end of this, the standoff ended on the morning of April 19th. It had started on February 28th. It was 51 days long, and it is the longest hostage negotiation in American history. That morning, April 19th, Bill Clinton, who was the president at the time, and Janet Reno, who was the attorney general, they had been talking about just this information that had been coming back to them about the children being sexually abused and people were being starved and things.
Yeah, I was going to say, did they not shut off, like, the food and the water and the power?
Well, that's the thing, is they didn't know if there were any more children inside. They didn't know how many people were still being held there against their will. And so the FBI was like, can we send in some food? And they sent in cartons of milk that had recording devices on them. And they recorded a little bit of it, which was basically just Koresh rambling and being like, no one go out there, I'll fucking blow your head off, things like that, I'm gonna kill them.
See, okay. I mean, obviously I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I'm wondering, like, how many people are in support of him, because I feel like at this point, if you guys are the ones who have all these weapons and you're being held hostage for fucking so long and there are kids, why not just take out Koresh and call it a day?
That's an interesting point. So Clinton and Reno were talking about this with the FBI, and one of the head negotiators for the FBI, I have his name here, hang on, Brian Sage, who was in charge of negotiations, said that the longer they were there, the groups, the FBI itself, broke into two factions, and one of the factions...
Everyone's working against each other.
So it was chaos. I feel so bad for the people who just lived in Waco and were just trying to live their lives. And
see, here's the thing. It wasn't even in Waco. It was in Elk.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if Elk is a town, but it's, they said, the community of Elk, Texas.
Maybe it's, like, one of those, like, it's sort like of unincorporated territories that's, like, Waco's the closest, like, town next to it. That, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That is so strange.
Okay.
Well, Elk...
That's a tangent.
No, Elk did some good PR there. Got their name washed completely from this situation. So Brian Sage said that there was a group that wanted to use snipers to kill Koresh and to kill...
This is one group of the FBI.
FBI, yes.
Yeah.
Wanted to kill Koresh and kill any other Branch Davidians who got in their way.
Okay.
And then Clinton and Reno were like, we don't want to do that. It could cause them to blow something up because the tip was right about them having guns. It could be right about them having explosions. We don't know how many they have. We don't know what kind of damage they're capable of doing. So they held out.
This is like a choose-your-own-adventure, except I know how this ends, and it's not the one I would have chosen.
This is really more of a would-you-rather. Like, neither option was great. And then there was the second group that was just going to wait them out. But this has gone on. They're in April now.
One group wants to use snipers, and the other group wants to wait them out.
Yes, and see if they can peacefully get everybody out.
Fucking hell, man.
So this group has been holding, this peacefully wait them out group. But the waited out group is sort of infighting within themselves, like, how long can this go on?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been months.
Yeah, that's fucking insane.
And what happened is Bill Clinton and Janet Reno decided that they had to pull the trigger. They had to do something because it was becoming clear that Koresh was never going to give
what,
up.
Who is Janet Reno again?
She was the Attorney General, which means she's in charge of all the government agents and militarized actions within, or she was, in the United States.
Okay, got you.
And so they decide that they have to tear gas the compound.
Okay, sure.
So early in the morning on April 19th, a tank and other FBI armored vehicles moved in. They pushed down the walls. They spent several hours shooting tear gas into the compound, which drives people out. I don't know if anyone knows a lot about tear gas. I know during the riots in Russia a few years ago, there was a very famous picture of a woman in a red dress getting tear gassed.
Sorry, say that one more time?
I'm sorry, did I mumble that?
No. I was thinking about something else.
There's a very famous picture in Russia during the Russian riots a few years ago. Of a woman in a red dress, like a red sundress, being tear gassed by a Russian police officer. And it became so famous because when you tear gas somebody, it temporarily blinds you. It kind of chokes you. It's basically just toxins that they spray in you. So you fall over. And it's this very haunting picture. I recommend looking it up. But it's a very controversial substance, too, because people can consider it torture to be exposed to it for too long. And so shortly before noon, after they've been tear gassing for several hours, the building was engulfed in flames. The FBI maintains that the tear gas did not cause this, that the Branch Davidians inside decided to commit mass suicide by setting the building on fire. There is a lot of controversy there, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but
okay, a few questions.
Yeah.
Because I know you have all the answers.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time in my life anyone's ever said that to me.
So, well, this isn't really a question, but Koresh had told the FBI that he was not planning a mass suicide.
Yes.
Can tear gas cause a fire?
Honestly, I don't know, and I feel like talking about that too much veers into jet fuel can't melt steel beams territory.
Is tear gas flammable?
But there's been a lot of confusion, and a lot of conspiracy theorists do believe the FBI set this building on fire. A lot of other people believe the Branch Davidians did, and they didn't mean to kill themselves. They were trying to fight the tear gas or fight the FBI with a fire or something. Literally, fight fire with fire.
What? Fight the tear gas with fire?
I know it sounds idiotic. I think they were trying to just push the FBI back with the fire.
That's stupid.
That's something a lot of people think happened. But the compound itself, the walls began to collapse in, obviously. In total, 70 people were killed.
70?
70 more. People. It says 70 on my notes.
I've seen 76.
Well, yes, it's, I'm sorry, I'm reading it. It's more than 70 men, women, and children were dead by the end of the day. So that was the Waco siege.
I think it was the Davidians that started the fire that day.
Yeah,
That's what all my research said.
But I ended up on some fringe sites by mistake, you know, ones that call themselves, like, the true patriot.
Oh, Christ.
But so there are people who believe that it was the FBI.
A lot of them died of smoke inhalation.
Mm-hmm. Because they got crushed or trapped and the fire just took over.
They found 75 bodies and only 9 of the Branch Davidians escaped.
Mm-hmm. Excluding the children who had been released earlier?
No. I think excluding them.
I was like, what happened to them? They weren't even there. So David Koresh was among those who were killed. And Brian Sage says, I would submit to you we have been played right into the hands of David Koresh. He had an apocalyptic end in mind, apparently, and he used us to fulfill his own prophecy. So maybe they set the fire because he convinced them that this was the end of days, this was the apocalypse, this was Revelations.
Oh my god, I can totally see it.
I definitely believe it, because he convinced them he was Jesus.
Here's my issue with it, is that if you're that level of narcissist, controlling, abusive, awful person, but, like, and you have all these people to bend to your will and blah, 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 why did he die that day? Well, like, why did he let himself die that day? Was it an accident? Was it...
Well, here's another one, according to the FBI.
Sure.
Steve Schneider, who was another Davidian, he was sort of Crush's, like, lieutenant. Mm-hmm. The FBI says that he probably realized he was dealing with fraud when this happened, when that Koresh was convincing them that it was the end of days, or that they had to fight against the FBI. And they believe from the autopsies they found that he shot and killed Koresh and then killed himself with a gun.
Steve Schneider?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
But no one saw this because it was inside the building, but the autopsies think that's what happened.
That actually makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad someone finally, like, got rid of him, but I wish it hadn't. It was too late. Yeah, it was too late to really make any difference.
I'm sorry. I just saw a funny fact on here. The FBI played "These Boots Are Made for Walking" over and over again in an effort to flush Koresh out of the thing.
Oh my god. I would have set the fire after, like, the fourth time they played that.
No, that just makes me laugh a great deal. The music the FBI plays to try to lure people out of these hostage situations.
What would they have to play for you to lure you out?
Oh god, there's so much hate. You know, it wouldn't even be music. It would be, like, ESPN. Just, like, sports. It would be sports radio. Like, shut up! Or, like, polka music or something. What about you? What would they have to play to lure you out?
Oh, God. Like, that modern pop country bullshit that people pretend is actual country music.
Keith Urban and stuff.
Yeah. Like, that nonsense.
Yeah, that's not great. Where every song's about a truck and how you want to fuck a truck. And
yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, that
stuff makes me want to set fire to whatever building I'm in.
That was Waco. There have been several documentaries made about this incident. Koresh's 1968 Camaro, which is damaged during the raid, and it was sold for $37,000 at an auction.
Who the fuck?
Some crazy person.
What? Wants to buy not even that good of a car,
but one that was owned by a homicidal sexual abuser.
So, what? I don't understand people.
Me neither. People buy hair. Like, it's...
I'm so confused.
So that's the legacy of this incident.
I was actually really surprised doing research for this one. It was far more interesting than I originally thought it would be.
It's one of my favorites. I do believe it's actually the first cult I was really aware of.
Mm.
I know we were talking about when we were little in the previous episode, if we had known about it, but whenever I started learning about cults, it was definitely here.
Yeah. My mom wanted us to do this one, so she'll be happy.
So this one's for you, Carol. So yeah, that's it for Waco. Let's do our recommendations of something that made us smile or...
Well, this isn't really recommendation because I can't recommend it. But okay, so last night I was with my boyfriend and he was explaining to me what lucid dreaming is.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird and crazy and
cool. Look it up, it's freaky.
Yeah, but I was saying, like, oh, I never, ever, ever, ever have dreams. And then fucking last night, I had a dream that all of my best music friends each opened up a cupcake shop on the same road. And then, Hallie, you and I went to visit each cupcake shop to, like, support them all.
Wait, how many cupcakes did we eat in your dream?
I don't know, but every time you would get an Oreo cupcake.
That's accurate.
I know.
Your subconscious knows me well.
Yeah. I don't know, just enjoy the small things, I guess, would be my recommendation. I don't know. I never get to dream, so it was kind of funny and cute and fun.
But then Dan put it in your head and it
happened. Yeah, exactly.
So get your boyfriend to make you dream. That's a recommendation.
That is my recommendation.
Mine is not as fun as that. I binge-watched the other night this Netflix series called 3%.
Okay.
It's Brazilian, so it's in Portuguese, so you have to put on the subtitles if you don't speak Portuguese.
Portuguese is the coolest sounding language I've ever heard in my life. It sounds like Russian and Spanish had a sexy baby.
I'm sure the Portuguese and the Brazilians would thank you for that. No, but it's like a sci-fi show, and it's a little bit like The Hunger Games, just in like it's these young people who have to pass through a series of tests to get to a better world. But it's definitely darker, and it's got, because it's in Brazil, it's got all these people of color in it. It's got a guy in a wheelchair who's the cutest guy I've ever seen in my life. I don't understand why he's not the next John Boyega. And it was just, it was very sharply written and entertaining. And even though it's like a cliche premise, the writing was very strong, and I enjoyed it for a binge. There's only 8 episodes, so cool. 3%. Look it up.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Rate, review, subscribe, send us an email. cultsofourlives@gmail.com. My Twitter is Hallie Regina. Figure out how to spell that.
I deleted my Facebook today.
Again?
Yeah.
Congratulations. I never know what to say. And Stassi has stepped a little bit farther away from Black Mirror than the rest of us, so kudos to her.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Until then.
Until then. Thanks for looking out.
Bye.